Welcome to this podcast on the Blue Yeti USB condenser microphone. This is a microphone that offers four different pickup patterns and that allows you to record basically anything as long as it doesn't require supreme sound quality. For example, you have a cardioid pickup pattern, but also a stereo pattern. And I will give some examples of the sound of these later in this podcast. And speaking of sound, I should mention that the sound you're currently hearing does not come from the Yeti, and again, I will come to why that is later in the podcast. This microphone records at a preset resolution of 48 kHz 16 bits audio. You cannot change that, but it should be more than enough for most situations, so there's not really a need to change it. Among other things, this microphone has one very interesting feature that is not present on all USB microphones, and that is a headphones output that has direct monitoring capabilities, so you can hear what you're doing as well as what your PC is playing through the microphone through the USB interface in real time, and this is definitely a big plus. You can get this microphone for about $150, perhaps a little less. I got mine in Europe, so I'm not exactly sure, but I suppose you can find out more about that on the internet. By the way, speaking of the internet, you can go to bluemic.com/yeti and find out all the things I don't mention in the podcast. That is bluemic.com/yeti. Alright, here I am using the Blue Yeti itself now on the cardioid pickup pattern. And in case you're hearing some background noise, that is partly intentional. I have my computer running and sitting to the back left of the microphone, pretty close as well. And the point of that is that I want to hear and show you how much of that noise is being picked up when I switch patterns. Now, some of this noise is obviously coming through the stand, because the stand is sitting on the same table as the computer is. So some noise will get through that way, but most of it should be picked up by the microphone itself. And I'd like to know how much. And speaking of patterns, you can go from bidirectional to cardioid, which is what we are currently on, and then to omnidirectional, and then there's also a stereo pattern. But I don't think we'll come to that in this podcast. I might do another episode and do some recordings with that, but that's something for a later time. Now that I'm explaining things, I should also explain why I was using the headset in the beginning of this podcast. I have multiple reasons. One is that I wanted to compare how much breathing noise and rumble and the volume problems you get because the mic is moving, so the volume isn't constant. And a second reason, which is actually the biggest reason and which is also getting to a very huge problem in some situations that the Yeti has. A second reason is that when you get close to the Yeti, you can very easily pop it. Right now, for example, I am 10 to 15 inches away from the mic, perhaps more, and this room isn't very isolated. It has a bit of reverb going on. It's actually a bit stormy out here, so you might hear that. In any case, this causes you to hear more of the room because you have to turn the mic up more and talk into it further away. Now, there is an alternative solution, which is to talk closer to the microphone but past it, and that gets a different sound, but it's not optimal either. However, you can get closer to the microphone and say P without actually popping it, but you have to talk either to the left or to the right of the microphone, so not directly into it. And if you do that by accident, or if you get too close and you are not aware of that, and you say something with a P in it, then that still causes a bit of a problem. So I would just like to go for the safe solution of being further away for now. I actually contacted soundprofessionals.com and asked them if they would perhaps know of a microphone windscreen that would fit on this thing, and they suggested the Windtag CT30 and CT80 windscreens. And from what I can tell, they will probably fit rather nicely, so I might get one of those. On the other hand, you could use a pop filter or pop screen that connects to the microphone stand using a gooseneck and protect the microphone that way. And I also intend to get one of these, and then see how much of the popping and peeing can be prevented by using such a windshield, and probably do another podcast to give you a little bit of an update on that particular matter. I must say that from what I can hear through the direct monitoring feature, there's not all that much computer noise. There is some, but certainly not as much as you get with some other patterns. And speaking of that, let's actually go to one of the other patterns now. So this is the bidirectional pattern, and there is evidently more noise from the computer, and I'm actually hearing something else as well. But more about that later. First, let's do a little bit of a description of the device. I'm not going to go into too much detail here, because if you get this device, it will be pretty obvious. This is a cylindrical microphone made entirely out of metal, and the top of it contains the microphone grille, which is also cylindrical in shape and ends in a, well, ball head, I would say, except it's not a ball because it continues downwards in the cylindrical form and then connects to the microphone itself, which is also a cylindrical metal big, bad, bulky thing. I think that is part of why they named it Yeti, is because of the bulkiness of this thing. And I should refine that the microphone weighs about 1 pound, perhaps a little more. However, the stand that it comes on, which is a desk stand, which has a round foot, and you screw the microphone into that stand. It comes screwed in by default when you get the mic, or at least mine did. But that stand weighs well over 2 pounds. So the mic is portable enough, but the stand is definitely not. However, it's pretty stable. You can knock the thing over when you bump the top of it, but for the rest, it's pretty stable, and as long as you don't move it or do anything else with it, it sounds pretty good as well. Not too much noise coming from touching the table or other such things. Although, really, if you want perfect sound quality, you should get a Shark Mount or something similar. But then, if you want perfect sound quality, you're not using the Yeti, probably. To continue the description, the bottom of the cylinder ends in a flat piece of metal that contains, from left to middle to right, a USB connector, a threaded hole, 5/8 of an inch, I believe, for a regular type of microphone stand. So you can take this out of the desk stand and screw it on a normal stand. And on the right is the headphones jack that you can use for direct monitoring and to listen to what the PC is playing through this particular sound card, because it really is a sound card as well. On the website, they even say you can use ACO4All to use this thing in sonar and similar programs, although I don't know how well that would work. I have my dedicated sound card for that. On the front of the unit is, at the top, the blue logo, sitting in a small oval piece of metal, sort of like a frame. And below that is a small round button with a light in the middle of it, apparently. And that is the mute button. This mutes your microphone, and then when you press it again, it unmutes the microphone. The only small problem I could see with this is that if you press it, you actually hear that on the recording. I will show that. And it also takes about half a second to turn itself on again. Below that is one more dial button with a physical pointer on it that points to the current setting, and that is the headphone volume knob. And you can turn this from left to right to increase and then decrease the volume by turning it backwards. It has no click stops or anything, but as I said, it has this physical pointer, so it should be pretty easy to operate. And this thing operates independently, as you might have guessed, of the Windows volume control panel. Let's now finish the description of the unit by talking about the buttons on the back. And by the way, this is the omnidirectional pickup pattern. The topmost button is the microphone gain, and it works independently of Windows volume control, just like the headphone knob, but it has a bit of a problem, and that is that this has no physical indication of what it is set at. It stops when you turn it to the left, and when you turn it all the way to the right, it stops as well, so you cannot turn it infinitely around and around, but it has no click stops, and unless you make a mark of your own, you don't know exactly what it is set for, although through direct monitoring, you can set your levels, and as long as you don't change them, that should be okay. The button below that one, and the last button on the device, is a similar button. It looks quite much the same. It has no physical pointer on it or anything, and it is used to select pickup patterns. And from left to right, when you're facing this button, so from right to left, if you face the front of the microphone, the patterns are bidirectional, cardioid, omnidirectional, and stereo. Back to the much quieter cardioid setting then, because there's something else I wanted to talk about, and you may have heard this, besides the fact that obviously the omnidirectional pattern has a lot more reverb and a lot more background noise in the recording than, for example, this one, I also noticed a difference in frequency response. And to show you that, this is the bidirectional pattern, and I am about, well, 10 inches away from the microphone, I would say. This is the cardioid setting at the same distance from the microphone. And this is the omnidirectional setting. Again, I have not moved, although it is raining a little bit outside. To further test this, I made a file that is similar to those that Neil has been using in some of his podcasts, and that is a piece of music playing through a speaker and recorded using this microphone. And in the file, it cycles through the three mono pickup settings of this mic. I did not use the stereo pattern because I hope to come to that in another podcast. There is some background noise, but still you should be able to get some idea of what this microphone sounds like. Not so much what sounds it picks up, but more how it picks them up. And there is definitely a difference between patterns, but I don't know to what extent that could be considered a bad thing, so I leave that up to you. One last note before I play the file. This particular recording switches from bidirectional to cardioid to omnidirectional, then back to bidirectional, and so on until the end of the file. One more thing I noticed about the frequency response is that when you're talking into the back of the microphone and using the bidirectional pattern, it sounds differently than when you're talking into the front of the microphone using the same pattern. And I observed this while monitoring what I was doing, so I decided to present you with an edited version of a rather peculiar interview so that you again can make up your mind for yourself. Today, there has been a bit of a discussion about whether or not blind people should be allowed to use scissors. And here is somebody who has an opinion on that. That is indeed the case. I feel that blind people should never be allowed to use scissors on their own. In fact, I dare to go as far as to say that they should not be allowed to use scissors with somebody supervising what they're doing. That definitely sounds like a bit of a harsh measure to take. Although, perhaps it makes sense. Could you please elaborate on this a little more? I suppose that the problems with using scissors are obvious. Well, danger arises, and that is why I have put up this petition on the internet and hope to get some voting on it. That, to me, sounds like a life-saving idea. Very interesting, if not a bit awkward, but definitely a good thing, and it actually opens up the market of accessible scissors, which I do think that is about enough of that nonsense. I'm now back to my noisy computer. The interview, so to speak, was recorded using my Samsung netbook, which is much quieter, But because I did the entire podcast on this computer, I thought for reasons of consistency, I would go back to it. And while I'm talking about miscellaneous things, I should tell you, before I forget, that the music you heard came from a Sonar 6LE installation CD that, in my case, came with a USB sound card. Oh, and I should probably also tell you that I am now talking into the back of the microphone, or as you should call it, the rear of the microphone, and still using the bidirectional pattern. Alright, now that all of that is out of the way, let's continue with one final test, and then I will play you a stereo file, just so you have some idea of what that sounds like, and then in a later podcast I hope to come back and show more of these capabilities, because this is indeed a very nice microphone for stereo recording, and I do really like it. This is the last part of the podcast. It's been a few weeks since I did the rest of it, and I never got around to do this final small test. So I decided that enough was enough. I stumped my feet a few times and got really angry, and then decided to plug this microphone into my Samsung netbook, because that is the quietest thing I have, and do the classic 5 seconds silence test, or 5 seconds of silence, I should say. Not to prove that this is a super pro quality microphone, but just to show off what the noise level is when you're like me, not normalizing anything, not really caring about your levels, and just setting something that sounds about right, but that may very well be too quiet or too loud. We'll see once I listen to this. But really, the last thing I wanted to do, and which I am going to do right now, is about 5 seconds of silence on the cardioid pickup pattern. And that is it. 5 seconds of, I don't know how noise-free that was. The headphone output has a bit of a hiss, just like some cheap notebooks have. On the headphones output, there's a bit of a constant hissing, so I don't know what the microphone is doing and how much of this hiss is caused by the amplifier. But again, I will hear that once I play this file back for myself and probably put it in the podcast, unless something is dramatically wrong, in which case I will happily do it again. For now, though, assuming that this file is not super distorted or anything bad like that, let me say that to finish off this podcast, I would like to play a file that I recorded a few days after I got the microphone, which was, I think, last July, perhaps August, but I would say July, so midsummer time. And it was raining and storming, and there was some thunder, so there was a combination of very bad weather. And I was indoors, being delighted to be indoors, and I recorded that storm with the microphone standing on my desk a few meters away from the window. I don't know what that would be in feet. I'm terrible with English and measurements and all that. But the microphone wasn't centered exactly rightly in between all the windows. And my noisy computer was running in the background. So this is not a perfect recording of a storm. But still, I got quite impressed with the stereo mode, which was evidently the first thing that I tried once I got this microphone. And that is why I would like to play it to you. And then once I do another podcast, which will hopefully be shortly, I will demonstrate more of the stereo capabilities. And if everything turns out rightly, I will also have my pop filter by then so that I can get some closer to the microphone and also show that. Until that time, though, have some very bad weather.